Hey, Unnecessary Roughness listeners, you can find every episode on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or YouTube. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music. And three, two, one. Claps.
Makes it harder for him, but whatever.
There'll just be three little spikes.
It doesn't matter. It's in the past.
Well, it's three little spikes, and then after the last one, it's like...
What happened? What happened?
I might clap every...
He clapped for that one. I clapped for this one, then he clapped again.
Oh.
He has a clap.
Avoid the clap. Jimmy Dugan. It was a league of their own.
I know that movie.
Fine movie. Dottie dropped the ball on purpose.
She did.
Yeah. We've said this many
people
times.
That think she didn't are crazy.
Or idiots.
Yeah, I mean...
Idiots obviously. Or Rico Bosco are the same person. Same thing.
Damn. Feathers Rico everywhere. Taking shots right off the top, huh?
Did he come in today?
Why would he come in on a Thursday?
He was working till like 9 p.m. last night.
Oh,
so.
My goodness. Dude, not 9 p.m.
He recorded like 7:30 p.m.
Jeez.
I will say he got off very easy. There was a few details that were missed.
He recorded Barstool's second most popular college football podcast.
Correct.
Hmm. Okay, so how are you guys doing?
Just let him have it. Just let him have it.
Where are you at?
I just don't want to say false things. That's a pretty popular show.
Where are you at?
You mean?
On this show or you on another show?
What are you talking about?
I'm just making...
Sucking soccer.
He's making faces behind my back when I say, obviously, in jest. Jesus. Are you on this team or not?
I am. I always have been.
bad time to clear
So what
throat.
If troops call right now and said, extra time, penalty kicks, you got to run back in there and do soccer?
If USA was playing, yes. Just like if,
I like college football.
Mojo Rowley walked in here, we'd have to stop this whole fucking thing. So.
First, no, you're gonna have to do a better wrestler than that. Rowley. He ain't stopping things.
I'd like it on record that I would only leave if I was going into labor,
or if Tom Brady walked in, or Machine Gun Kelly.
Matthew McConaughey walks through and says, "I'm looking for a pregnant broad,"
or Justin Bieber. So those four, or labor,
or if there was the college football show,
Machine Gun Kelly, Tom Brady
show, or
Machine Gun Kelly, Tom Brady, Matthew McConaughey. Justin Bieber.
Michael B. Jordan.
Michael B. Jordan. Joe Burrow?
Probably Joe Burrow. There's
I would follow Casey out for Joe
There's
Burrow.
A much longer list, I feel like, than we're giving myself credit for. However.
Anyone would do that. That's not just
here.
A you thing.
I mean, what if Kate Upton walked in here? What would you do?
Nothing.
You'd pass out.
Nothing. First of all, I'm married.
Okay. What if Sydney Sweeney walked in here?
Oh, Kate Upton's
young,
number one.
Too young.
Also, what about her boobs?
If
her boobs walked in here by themselves, I would be shocked and impressed.
If Kate Upton was in here, he'd be so nervous he'd pass out. He did get to meet somebody yesterday that he didn't realize he was meeting in real time.
Oh, Gronk's
and
girl,
after
Camille
the
Constick.
Fact, I introduced him to Camille, and he like she walked, she you know gave me a hug, and I was like, "This is Brandon." Then she walked by, and he was like, "Wait, that's." Gronk's girlfriend. I was like, yeah, I just introduced you. And he was like, oh, okay, all right. Yeah.
I'm pissed I didn't see her. I
talked to
her
for like an hour.
Female.
Didn't you come into the kitchen when I was talking to her?
I must have had a process that it was her. But everyone...
She had like one of these on, and she was covered up a little bit.
I would not have known. I saw another account here post her. I would not have known otherwise that she was in the office.
What if we talked college football on the
I'm
show?
Okay with that. Yeah,
not boobs.
Would that be weird?
Boobs and college football. It's a similar... The Venn diagram of the fans are...
Yeah, careful. Jesus.
Very similar.
All right.
Can I also say something?
Sure.
It's about college football. It's also about
Go.
This, it's about
Go.
This very podcast.
Go.
It did not truly hit me how crazy the segment was on Tuesday's episode from the note until I rewatched what Noah clipped, how long it took me to realize
both of us
that Noah is a criminal. I know in the moment we recognized it, but if you go back and listen to it
you
watch,
accused me.
I did accuse you. Yeah. Well,
it's fair.
It's a compliment.
You weren't here, and I knew Katie couldn't lie.
I can't lie to the face now.
Noah, I didn't know was so devious. I should have known better. So, and Jack, I know that you're a little bit devious. However, in the moment, it felt like it happened much faster. There was a lot of. For lack of better terms, pregnant pauses.
No, there was a moment that you were on board to believe this thing.
Whenever I was like, oh, I figured it out, and I turned it over and I saw, I was like, oh. Very funny moment. I know I've said this off air. I think that episode was We missed Jack a lot, but I think it was one of our best we've had in a long time. There were some roughness moments.
I will make you a promise right now.
Okay.
Here's my promise to you. I will use Noah's cunning and willingness to be a criminal to my advantage on the show.
But that will happen. Now we know.
You knew this, but you got convinced pretty quick that you thought you knew, but then you were like, oh, I don't know.
I was very quick to blame somebody
other than Noah. I am going to use that young man over there for my gain, and it's going to be possibly felonious.
Well,
I'll sell my services to the highest bidder.
There you go. See? All right. So he's going to Auburn.
Christmas. I can't even speak. Christmas is coming up.
Christmas.
I thought that was a good
Merry Christmas.
Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
So he's going to Auburn.
Christmas.
Anyway.
Christmas. Anyways, Christmas. If you haven't watched or listened to Tuesday's episode, you should, because Brandon had two all-time unnecessary roughness moments.
Did I?
Well, the second one. The boobs.
Oh, I forgot about them.
Uh-oh. That means they can't be that good. Oh.
Anyway, let's go.
The kids are playing their tail off, and the coaches are screwing it up.
And they run through our ass like shit through a tin horn, man, and we could not stop them.
We failed to make our coaching points and our points more compelling than their fat little girlfriends.
Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cats. We need more dogs.
Hello, and welcome to Unnecessary Roughness, brought to you by...
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort, meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
Oh, what a night. Listening to Unnecessary Roughness on a Tuesday night.
I don't know what's happening.
What's happening?
What's another podcast? Pick them because you're fucking shy.
All right, so it is. It is.
The Athletic because you're fucking shy.
It is.
I liked that.
Unnecessary Roughness.
It is.
And we're talking college football.
We should say thank you to everybody.
Why?
Because we got a lot of Spotify Wrapped.
Yes, thank you.
Tweets we did. And Instagrams. We really did. I don't know if it happened on TikTok or not.
Huh?
I sent what you asked for.
Yeah, and they didn't send it to us. We didn't get that, did we?
No,
Brandon,
I sent
it. It's in the group chat. We saw it.
See it.
Read the group chat.
Wait a second. No, they did not send it to us. Brandon asked for somebody to go and get it.
Yeah.
And then I asked, who should I ask? Katie said, Kyle Levine. I went and got it. So there's my commitment to the podcast.
But I thought he said we only get those for the top podcast.
Well, and then got
but
them.
Then are. I sent 10 photos in the group chat this morning.
I don't.
But we're not supposed to share them.
Why not?
Because
I don't know.
Spotify
doesn't
pay us to share them. It's free advertisement for Spotify.
Your podcast was
you're not.
Yeah. I can say that.
Okay.
On Spotify, it says your podcast was in the top 5% most shared globally. That sounds pretty good.
Look at this one. You ready?
Yeah. You're in the top 1% of most followed podcasts. Now, why in the hell can't we put that out? That's crazy. This was advertising for us. Everybody's doing the Spotify Wrapped.
If you do it, actually do it.
I'm going to do it.
And the person that I get mad would be Gaz. You can just tell him the fuck
Gaz.
Off.
Gaz.
Yeah.
Gaz, get mad at me, Brandon Walker?
Me too. Fuck you, Paul. Fuck you.
I thought all the 1% stuff was great, but the... best was
what's he gonna do, complain to a waitress at 11 on 3 a.m. on Friday?
The amount of new subscribers
we saw a lot of gains this year. 46% new fall. No, stop.
Look right here.
59% of our listeners on Spotify discovered us in 2022, which means a lot of you are new, and we just want to say thank you, and hopefully you've been here the whole year. If not, you'll come back for the full year next year.
We're up 46% on listeners, 46% on followers.
And that's just on Spotify.
That's just on
Spotify.
We're just great.
We really are.
Thank you.
And so are the listeners.
So you're welcome, Jack. Thank you. Who's thanking the heart and soul of the podcast?
No, I think he's thanking
the listeners.
But
I do thank you two, and Katie, and Noah.
Thank you to everybody. Also,
you realize Noah's sitting over there like this.
No, I said thank you, Noah.
Yeah, no, but I'm just saying Noah's sitting over there like, sounds like you guys got a new producer and things went.
No, that's good. He should say that to his boss and everything, 100%.
He absolutely should. Also, I listen to my podcast when I do listen to them on Apple, why is Apple not doing what Spotify is doing?
I don't know.
Because Spotify, I mean, I use Spotify for all my music. I don't know why I do the difference. I guess I don't want to pay for both Spotify and Apple Music. But when Spotify Wrapped comes out, yeah, everyone freaks out about it. I love to see what people do. I know some people are like, we don't want to see what you listen to. I personally am very entertained by it. But the fact that Spotify is the number one thing that we're talking about right now, it's the number one like listener platform.
My kids ruined my Spotify Wrapped.
Yeah.
So my most listened to artist is like a 13-year-old boy that makes mixes of video game themes.
Oh, yeah.
That's not, yep.
There's some people who have like fan noises or white noise.
I have a bedtime fan app that I use for that.
I bet you could at least guess two of my top three.
Bieber.
Artist or songs?
Oh, Machine Gun Kelly.
Machine Gun Kelly,
I'm
Bieber.
In the top 0.01%. of Machine Gun Kelly.
Yeah, you should be on a list.
I should be definitely on a list. I did the math. You know, they put out the minutes.
Yes.
I did the math on how many days I've listened to Machine Gun Kelly.
This year?
It's not. It's a very humbling moment. I saw people who are like, oh, like I've spent X amount of days listening to Unnecessary Roughness or Pardon My Take or whatever. It's like, that's at least something new every
right.
time.
Yeah. This is just songs.
That's impressive. I thought
poorly made songs.
I was top 5% of Kid Cudi, and that's much more. You're like 0.01.
Yeah, I was gonna say I haven't even like so people. I've seen mostly like 2%.
Yes, Brandon, we'll move on.
Nothing,
we'll move on.
I don't know.
He's making faces.
What happened?
0.01% of
that's crazy.
Pretty good.
That's crazy. And imagine if he was good.
No. Whatever. I don't really care what your opinion
oh,
is.
Oh, what a night.
But anyway, thank you to everybody who's listened. And if you're listening and you haven't at least subscribed to the YouTube, Jack. They don't have to watch us. They don't have to watch us. Most people listen to us, by the way.
I'd like for them to watch us.
But, no, I'm saying if we at least
go.
Yeah, you can do both.
If you're listening to the podcast right now, Casey's topless.
And they're pregnant, folks.
Mm-hmm. If you're watching on YouTube, you know I'm lying. That's okay.
It is crazy how many more people listen than watch. But if those people that listen just went and just click the subscribe button, it would help us out.
We are going to start. Every show is going to have a wheel now from now on because of the act. We're going to start a topless wheel on the show, and one we're going to spin it, and one person
it does
has to
seem
do the whole
like
show topless.
Everything has a wheel now.
Yes. Wheels are everywhere.
And I don't know what the percentage of 2 out of 5 is, but.
It's 40.
It's going to happen.
Me and Katie.
Mm. All right.
I have a computer I can hide behind.
College football.
I'll just breastfeed on the podcast.
College football.
No bees.
Disgusting.
No bees.
I think the biggest news of the week, of course, we're going to get to the conference championship games. You have your Pac-12 championship game Friday night. You have your Big 12 championship game at noon on Saturday, and SEC, ACC, Big 10. All of that is coming up this weekend, and we're going to talk about that. A little podcast news. Sunday they'll release the actual playoff, at noon on Sunday. So we're not going to have a Saturday night reaction podcast. We are, in fact, going to wait until that happens, and we will have everything baked into that reaction podcast. So you'll probably look for that around 2 o'clock Sunday afternoon.
It will be very status quo if the conference championship goes as we hope they go, because we have said, we said it on Tuesday when we got in a very healthy, heated debate about the playoff.
I've changed. Wait.
You don't.
While it would be clean and for TCU and USC to win and not have to worry about it, the chaos that would ensue from TCU and USC losing or TCU or USC losing is too much to pass up.
The chaos would be phenomenal, but from a team standpoint, you've changed from that too? Because I thought we all.
I had a vision in my head last night.
Yeah.
Vision.
Imagine TCU or USC lose.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Ohio State gets in.
Okay.
Michigan kills TCU or USC.
Okay.
Ohio State squeaks by Georgia. Just imagine a world where Michigan-Ohio State rematches the national title game.
I feel like
did we not have this like speculation? And I said I would love Michigan State-Ohio.
Either one.
Michigan-Ohio State. Yeah, you did. And you know, and I said I feel like I know what's going to happen again.
You wouldn't, though. That's the thing.
But I believe that it would be the same way that I just watched the two of those teams play.
I hate. And this, we're not going to get into this debate, but I hate when people say that, and I hate when you say that. Like, it is true that Alabama and Georgia played in the SEC title game last year, and it was 3 touchdowns. Then went 3 touchdowns the other way.
But I just think Michigan is a different animal versus Ohio State than Georgia was against Alabama. Again, we talked about this in depth on Tuesday. I am with you that I think the chaos would be very fun to watch on Sunday, because you know that ESPN as a whole just loves to drag that shit out. God, it takes forever for them to unveil it. The only time I'm okay with the dragging out is the upcoming Sunday show, because I like the drama surrounding it. If USC and TCU both win, those are the four teams I want to see in the playoff, but we wouldn't have any drama. There would be no drama leading up to the unveiling of what's going to happen on New Year's Eve. So I see your point, but here's my question. In your vision, in your head,
yeah,
what kind of chaos are you really hoping to see? Are you hoping for both to lose?
I'm open to anything. I'm open to anything. I don't know that I'm hoping for both to lose. I'm just wide open. But, I mean, I see three possible scenarios. The playoff is as it is. USC drops out and the first three go in. Or pure chaos, TCU and USC both lose, and then you might have the Big Ten SEC Invitational, but that needs a lot of things to happen.
Well, and
TCU would have to lose by, I think, three or four touchdowns. Which is possible.
Are we assuming that if TCU loses, they're out, or does it have to be a margin?
No, it has to be a margin. I think TCU – Georgia and Michigan, we know, can lose this game and still be in. TCU, I think I would assign them 75% lose this game, still be in. They just can't get blown out. USC has to win. If they don't win, they can't get in.
If TCU loses in a close game, there's not even a question to me that they're in.
There's a question for sure.
No, I don't think so.
Are you coming from a standpoint of saying, if I were on the committee, there's no question, or this committee, there's no question?
Because
there's
two different things. If I was on the committee and TCU, who has already beaten Kansas State in the regular season, is 12-0 going into the conference championship and loses a close game, they don't embarrass themselves. You know, it's not like the offense gets run out of the building. I would still put TCU in, because I think that going undefeated in the regular season and losing to a team you've already beaten should play a factor. Now, do I think this committee is going to do that? I'm not sure. I do know that if TCU had an OU in front of it, they would be in.
So,
if OU was in that position and they lost a close game, they would still be going to the playoffs.
I disagree with that.
One thing about TCU is that if they were to lose this weekend, the committee might look at their schedule and say, you know what, they would have lost to Kansas State the first time if Kansas State didn't lose two quarterbacks in the middle of that game, if Kansas State didn't lose their backup quarterback when they were up 28-10.
Who played the rest of the game?
So I don't know. I think there's more of a question. I think TCU likely, if they lose 3 to 7 points, probably stays in. It'll be nerve-wracking.
It'll be nerve-wracking, but because of what's behind – everybody else, like I think that if you, like, let's say USC wins. So USC is in. They avenge their loss to Utah. They're the Pac-12 championship, one loss, fine. They're in. If TCU loses a close game to Kansas State, and then your next options are Ohio State, who got their doors blown off, didn't win their division,
I don't think that's a problem.
And then Alabama has two losses. If I was on the committee, I'd still put TCU there.
Bama's out. To me, Bama's out.
But
I'm not worried about Bama.
I'm saying in the hypothetical, like where it's like, that's why I'm saying as
okay. But
as
here's
a
what you're
member.
Not. Here's what. Yeah, these are human beings, and buddy, if they got there on Saturday or Sunday, and they had an option to have a playoff, they had Georgia, Michigan, Ohio State, and USC.
Definitely
four massive brand names.
Oh, that's gonna play into it for money
and it
money
would,
purposes.
Yeah.
But if I'm going by just the teams I think deserve to be in it, I would put TCU there. And Jack, I'm just curious, like why do you disagree that if it was OU?
I don't think it matters.
Oh, I think that those names definitely matter. To his point, that definitely matters.
Well, I mean, Ohio State's still like a better team than TCU. They'd be favored over TCU. They're still rated as a better team in almost every power ranking and computer model out there. TCU, I don't think the brand names matter as much as the quality of the teams. If OU lost their Big 12 championship games that they won to get to the college football playoff, they wouldn't have been in.
But they weren't undefeated going into those.
Yeah, I know, but still...
I think brand names matter because, to Brandon's point, Ohio State is a brand name that they would want to push.
But they're a brand name, but they're also an elite football team.
But yeah, that's where I side with Jack on this one thing. A lot of people are burying Ohio State way too hard for the way they lost to Michigan. You know, they happen to share a division with the number two team in the country who is playing in the playoff. They happen to share a division. Other teams don't have to share a division with Michigan. So I don't really look at their 22-point loss and say, oh, this means Ohio State – this is a huge check mark against them. I don't really put it as a huge check mark against them.
We disagree on that, but I mean, where do you stand on what we're talking about with TCU? You don't think that if it was OU instead of TCU, it would matter?
I don't think names matter.
And not to kind of to ride the fence, but there's a world out there where the Big 12 really isn't very good. We don't really know yet. We don't really know at all. TCU has survived in the Big 12. But TCU doesn't really have this resume, or the Big 12 pretty much all beat everybody, and there's nothing really to suggest the Big 12 is this good conference this year. We assume it is because there's no real terrible teams.
But and that's a fine assumption. Again, if you go undefeated in your conference, you can only win the games that are placed in front of you. However, again, my personal opinion, I do think brand names matter with the four spots. Now, when the 12 playoff expansion happens, he's saying that that TCU could be OU and it wouldn't matter, be the same thing. I think if OU was there, that plays into the committee's name.
Okay,
that's
we're bogged down on something that will come out in the wash on Sunday. There's a bigger story in college football than this playoff right here. Even though this is in the moment, in the now. We found out that the Rose Bowl has, in fact, gotten out of the way. They got their antiquated, overrated ass out of the way, and we are going to get a 12-team playoff starting with the 2024 season. That means the 4-team playoff has this year and next year, and that's it. The college football playoff will expand its playoff from 4 to 12 teams in 2024. Jack.
So I'm probably the closest on this podcast to not agreeing with the playoff expanding, but I still am on the side of this is good. I'm excited. I can't wait to see how it looks. It's going to be fun, and I think college football will be completely fine. I do see some downsides, but I don't know if the downsides – there's always downsides to change. There was downsides to conference realignment. I think we're seeing positives. That will continue to change. There was downsides – I don't think as much to NIL, but there may be some downsides to NIL, and it seems like that's going great. There was downsides to the transfer portal. That's going great.
So
everything is looking really good for the playoff, and I'm excited to see how it looks in 2 years. These conference championship weekends that we're seeing right now, this weekend, is not as great as years past. If there's 12 teams, it would be much better this weekend, at least in my opinion.
It absolutely would be.
Your thoughts?
I love it. And we've had this argument on the podcast. We've had it on the college football show. And it will continue. Unfortunately, for the people who are arguing that 12 teams is going to ruin the regular season, it's happening. So you either have to get on board with it or stop watching it. I don't know what the option is that you have. The thing to me is when we argue about the top four spots, there's not enough spots for even the Power Five teams that win their own conference. Whether you think conference championships matter or not, there's not even five. Then you have the at-large, but like if we're looking right now at the potential 12-team playoff for this season, number 12, Tulane. Like that would never, ever happen. Cincinnati happened last year, and it's going to take a long time for that to happen again if we stayed with four. I love it because then you actually have a chance to let these teams play it out and decide who the actual best team in the country is. And right now, we assume it's Georgia or Michigan, wherever you stand. With 12 teams, who's to say that Alabama doesn't beat Utah in this said playoff and get to the point where they have to play Georgia and Nick Saban beats Kirby Smart again? We don't know that in a 12-team playoff we would.
I have four takes, and I'm going to go rapid fire. Number one, college football has never, ever made a mistake expanding its postseason or playoff system, ever. 25 years ago, Michigan and Nebraska split a national title because we played in this archaic, stupid system where we didn't put them together in bowls. Nebraska went to one place, Michigan went to the other. They both finished undefeated, and they both won a national title. That was the dumbest thing that ever happened. The fact that it made it all the way to 97 is stupid. And the next year, we started the BCS. Tennessee played Florida State, and we actually started crowning a national champ. But then that had problems because you had undefeated Auburn get left out in 2004. So you go to a 4-team playoff, and it was exciting and good, and you're crowning a better champion. And now we're going to 12, and it opens up the whole thing. It's no longer just a pipe that's mounting with pressure. It is a 12-team playoff. What the 14 playoff is an exclusive club that every now and then has some trespassers like Washington 2016, Cincinnati last year, TCU possibly this year. But mostly it is reserved. It is a neighborhood. It's a gated community of mansions for these big teams like Alabama, Ohio State, Clemson, Georgia, whoever can get in there. Now, with 12 seats at the table, you open everything up. You also take back December. Take back December. Right now, the season ends last Saturday, or Championship Saturday is the first Saturday in December, and we don't have anything else until January 1st that really, really matters. That's 4 fucking weeks that the NFL just gets to be the star. NBA takes Christmas Day. Now, December is going to matter in college football. This idea that the playoff, 12-team playoff, kills the regular season is the weakest, most beta idea I've ever heard in my fucking life.
How many times this year have you said that Michigan, Ohio State have a one-game season?
Last Saturday was Rivalry Saturday. 60 games, over 60 games were played. How many of them mattered? Two. Two mattered. It was USC, Notre Dame, and it was
Ohio State, Michigan.
Thank you very much. Ohio State, Michigan. That's how many mattered. You're having these November, the week before that. How many games mattered? Hardly any. Okay? That's what happens when you have a 4-team playoff. With a 12-team playoff, you are expanding everything. The table gets bigger, and games with number 15 against number 12 in November are going to be life and death. This is better. This is better. This is better. Right now, the gap in college football between the first best team and the fifth best team is bigger than 20 to 50, and you're about to get rid of that because you're going to have this transfer portal. You're going to have players going everywhere, opportunity everywhere, playoff opportunity everywhere, TV opportunity everywhere. This is good. It opens the sport up. One more. Go ahead. You can respond.
No, I was going to say, not only does it make these games matter more, because you're right, even late November, unless you are a team that is undefeated or has a decent one loss, you're out of the question. Think about the arguments that we've had many times now, especially over the last couple of weeks. Well, who's better, Ohio State or Alabama? Who's better, Tennessee before they lost to South Carolina or USC? We don't know. We're just guessing. We're going off of an opinion of what they've played in their own conference. Now the conversation of, well, Alabama has two losses, but they only lost by single digits both times. But Ohio State only has one loss, but they got killed. Put them both in. Let them both prove that they deserve to be one of those top four spots. Those arguments are now null and void because we actually get to see it play out on the field, as opposed to a bunch of us with differing opinions trying to fit a square into a circle hole.
This idea that people come back and say, oh, you know, Alabama and Ohio State are just going to get in every year now. Well, they pretty much get in every year right now. They're not going to get – they potentially might not get in this year. But if you open it up to 12 – and Alabama and Ohio State do get in every year, it's because they're good enough to get in every year. It's because it's a democratic process. They can get in every year. I don't think that's a bad thing. If Alabama loses two games in the regular season, finishes number 10, and then wins the playoff, well, that means they will have beaten number 7, and then number 2, yep, and then number 1. So they will have earned that. It will be earned on the field. I don't understand. If you love college football, and your main thing is because it has the best regular season in sports, That's a fine take. But why do you settle for the best regular season in sports while also accepting the worst postseason in sports? Because that's what college football has. 4 teams play games that matter. Everybody else opts out. Ohio State just told the Rose Bowl, don't take us. We don't want to come. That's the Rose Bowl. We don't want to come. That's the postseason you have right now. It's the worst postseason in sports right now. So why not, even if you give a little bit of your regular season, which I don't think you're going to, give me a little bit of that, and let's have a good December and a good postseason, and let's bring college football into the world of sports with everybody else. Yes, Jack?
Also, you're still playing for byes. The byes are going to matter because if you think about it, at this point in the season, I mean, TCU's talked about it specifically. They had their bye like week 4 or 5, and they've talked about how this whole run that they've been on in the Big 12 has been like a juggernaut, and they wish they could have some time off. Mm-hmm. But this weekend, which in the Big 12 championship, let's say there was a 12-team playoff, yeah, they wouldn't be playing to be in the playoff, but they would be playing for a bye that would be very advantageous for them and other schools, because health, specifically in football, really matters at the end of the year. And I think we forget how often just some time off for these guys are like massive, especially after a juggernaut of a schedule like the SEC. I know the Big 12 is not the SEC, but all these conferences, you still have to show up every Saturday.
Well, yeah. let me ask you this. What if Utah and was playing USC this weekend and Utah had a chance to get into a 12-team playoff? Doesn't that enhance the way they come into this game as opposed to just playing spoiler for USC? Same with Kansas State for TCU.
Another thing that is a very lame argument that's happening is, so you guys just want to see more blowouts. Like, that's what's going to happen if you expand the playoff. Again, looking at this potential, what this season would look like, you're telling me that you don't want to see number 8 Penn State versus number 9 Clemson? You think that's going to be a blowout? Number 6 Alabama versus number 11 Utah? Number 7 Tennessee versus number 10 Kansas State? If anybody can look at me with a serious face and say that those three games, I understand the Ohio State Tulane is not going to jump off the page to anybody, but the other three games that would be in the expanded playoff, those games don't scream blowouts to me. Those games do not scream, I wouldn't want to sit and watch that. I would watch the shit out of those three games. So I don't understand that logic. And guess what? They're going to be blowouts every single year, not just in college football. It's going to happen across the board. So why not give us more of an opportunity to see which team deserves to go up against the four teams that get byes?
That scene that Neyland Stadium had earlier this year, against Alabama with the sunset and the goalpost. More college football is good. Can you imagine Neyland Stadium second week of December hosting number 10 Kansas State?
Oh, my God. No, that would be so awesome.
Imagine Beaver Stadium hosting Clemson next weekend.
So to the point of these people who are like, well, it weakens the regular season and you just want to see more shitty games in a playoff, those people just don't want to watch what you just laid out? Those people don't want to watch Utah and Alabama? Those people, I can't figure out what the argument is with that. And furthermore, to the point we've been saying all year, it's like, if you don't want to watch the games, then don't do it. You don't love college football then. You can love regular season football and then turn it off in the postseason if you're that mad
but
about
I do,
it.
I just to play devil's advocate, I do understand why some people may, like, if you don't love it, but like, I may love something, and if it changes, it stinks if it's gone. It's like if you have.
But if you love it, you don't want to see.
No, but if you love it, you love how it's structured now.
But the playoff has been here since 2014.
It's not even been 10 years.
It's not even in fourth grade yet.
No, I know. Yeah. But it's just telling someone, oh, you don't love it because they.
Oh, I'm not saying they don't. I'm saying if they're so mad about it, then don't watch these games. But my point is, if you love to watch these great games in the regular season, especially non-conference games, why would you not love a Penn State Clemson game that matters? Why would you not love a Kansas State Tennessee game that matters?
Yeah, I mean, I get what you're saying, but from somebody's perspective, that they love how it's structured now, and they don't want to see how it's going to change. The change could be difficult for them, and they have a sport that they love, and they don't want it to change. There is downside here,
but
without a doubt.
Again, let me go back to my original point when you bring that up. I don't think college football has ever made a mistake when it expanded its playoff, when it changed its playoff, when it said, the old bowl system isn't working, let's go to a BCS. That was positive. BCS isn't working, let's go to a playoff four. That was positive. And I think this is a smart change, too.
Okay, yeah.
That's just what I think.
I agree. And I do understand. I don't think that it's going to be. I'm not saying that if you hate this, you don't love college football. What I'm saying is step back and look at what we're getting with it. And if you're that against change, which has only been for 8 years, by the way, if you're that against it, then it's not like you have to sit there and watch it. Then just wait for the top four teams. I just can't figure out why anybody wouldn't want those extra.
I think
games
a lot of people who are listening right now to us don't like this.
And that's my question. I can only use the teams that are in front of me for this year. How could you not love those games being played?
Because it takes away from how great Ohio State Michigan was.
I don't think it does, and I'll tell you why. That's a fine viewpoint, just that game. The college football is built on a lot of things. And it's not just the structure of their regular season, and it's not just the chance to get into a playoff. That rivalry, Michigan-Ohio State, could have been for a sack of marbles on Saturday. It could have been for a sack of potatoes. It could have been for anything. You're not going to – it's built on passion. It's built on rivalry. It's built on hatred. And that is not going to take away from what happened on Saturday. That game would still be electric, still be awesome, still be great. And if, just in your mind's eye right now, picture a world where Michigan beats Ohio State, and then 3 weeks later, they got to go again in the playoff. That doesn't take away from the rivalry of Michigan-Ohio State. That adds to the playoff. That adds to the postseason. That's taken this incredible chunk of the regular season, this immaculate, perfect game, and putting it over here, and now this is better too. This is still great. This is also good now.
Look at the Egg Bowl. The Egg Bowl is played for nothing this year. And well, it's still
that, that wasn't a point that needed to be made.
Well, I'm not, but no, I'm saying that you, no matter what's on the line, a rivalry game like that is always going.
That
to
wasn't
matter.
A that wasn't a point that needed to be made.
No, yes, it is.
So
it
was,
no, I know what you're saying, but
I mean, okay, I'll
choose
make,
another game. Yeah,
okay, then I'll choose
UNC,
then I'll
NC
choose,
State.
Okay, yeah. or A&M LSU. I mean, I know that's not anywhere near a heated rivalry. That's the one they're trying to push.
If your rivalry depends on someone making the playoff, then it's not a big enough.
Don't you believe that. With the expanded playoff, you know, carrying a rivalry into the playoff. Like Alabama-Georgia, for example, they played for a national title twice in the last 5 years in the playoff. If they played in the regular season next year, that's still a massively gigantic game.
Yeah, I also – yes, and that's true. The losses, the importance of that game is diminished, though.
I just I think it's –
because you can lose it.
I think it's changed. You can lose it now, perhaps.
Yeah, because of divisions. But if they got rid of divisions and you lost it now.
No. Divisions are what hurts Ohio State right now. If Big Ten didn't have divisions,
I know, but
they'd
helped,
be rematching right now.
It helped Alabama and Georgia if they play.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I also think it takes away from upsets as well. The South Carolina win was amazing, but now it wouldn't have – It would have been cool, but it just would have been like, oh, a team that was supposed to lose won that weekend. It's very similar to the NFL.
Well, you're taking
College football and making it the NFL, which is what some people are
saying.
Okay,
well, let's go further with that thought, okay? South Carolina came out of nowhere and beat Tennessee.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say South Carolina hadn't lost quite as many. They've lost one less game than they had, okay? They were like 5-3, and they weren't very good. All of a sudden, they beat Clemson and
Tennessee
back-to-back, and they finished so strong. What if they could get in the back half of this playoff and all of a sudden you have one of the hottest teams in the country playing in a playoff? South Carolina would be the story then, not Tennessee.
Yeah, but then look at the playoff right now. Clemson's lost to two non-playoff teams and they're in.
Okay,
that's fine. So Clemson shows up to the playoff. Penn State beats them. It is shown that Clemson is not a team that can compete for a national title. That's why we play the games.
And Penn State is there.
Well, we played the games and we already knew that. Maybe that's more goes to show the ranking of Clemson.
Okay, we play the games and that's why we knew that. But there are certain times we don't know things about teams. Like in a 12-team regular season, you play some conference teams aren't good. You play four non-conference games aren't good. We still don't really know about TCU. We might find out they're a hell of a lot better than we thought. We might find out that conference sucks.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, through a 12-team playoff, we'll find that out around earlier and we'll whittle it down to the teams who do belong there.
And also,
in my opinion,
when you look at the arguments we've had with the Big Ten and the SEC, so you know, you mentioned Clemson. Well, Penn State would be playing them in this scenario. Penn State's only two losses are to Michigan and Ohio State. So then we look and we say, okay, well, how really good is the Big Ten outside of Michigan and Ohio State? We would find out, because if Penn State goes in and blows out Clemson, then it solidifies, okay, then beating Penn State every year is a much better win than sometimes we give it credit for. Also, just looking at this 14 playoff right now, who's better, Alabama or Ohio State?
Ohio State.
But if they played, we would know, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that's my point. It's like those are the types of games we would get in a expanded playoff where we actually can say
the sanctity
we know.
Of the regular season.
Okay, good. I was going to ask you a question before you said that.
The sanctity of the regular season is you have to essentially – you play a playoff during the regular season. You have to win at least 11 of your 12 games. Maybe there's scenarios where you get in when you lose twice, but you have to win 11 of your 12, maybe even 12 of your 13 games or 11 of your 13 games to get into the playoff. That's every weekend. Now, Alabama loses. When they lost to Tennessee, it was like, oh my God, do they have a way to get back in? They did. But then they lose again, and then that brings it up. So
my question becomes:
right?
If Alabama loses 2-3 games and falls to number 11, and then goes to the playoff and wins the playoff, why is that a bad thing? Because what you have done is you have proven Alabama was the best team. They had the potential. They were the national championship team. They went out and won it on the field. Why is that bad? Why is this idea, this old idea that, oh, they lost in the regular season, so they can't ever play? Why? Why is this sport the only one that hangs on to that idea?
Well, that's what makes it special.
That's what the reality is, and we call it special.
I don't know why that – you can't mess up.
And it's there's like, so many things special about college football outside of this.
And that may – the rivalries will still be there, but it may change it from that. What else is special? The fan bases? I think programs –
the passion. I mean
– you don't storm the field in the NFL.
Yeah, well, are they going to storm the field now? Because, like,
yes.
Tennessee.
Yes.
But, like, why does it matter if South Carolina beats Tennessee?
Because people hate those, they hate schools as much. Like, that doesn't change. That doesn't, when it used to be two and then it expanded to four teams, people still storm the field. It's because you hate some these rivals so much. But I also love the idea of, like, a team is hot, a team deserves a spot to prove that they are the hottest team at the end of the season. I don't understand why that's a bad thing.
Well, Bama's not hot.
Let's use an example. And it fell apart because they lost a couple games when he came back. But remember in September when Quinn Ewers went down and they lost by a point to Alabama, and then they lost another game with Hudson Card starting to Texas Tech. And then at that moment, let's say Quinn Ewers came back and led Texas to 8-0, and they finished 10-2, and they did not, they wouldn't get into a 4-team playoff. That team would be hell to deal with in a 12-team playoff. That team, are you going to punish a team for an injury? There are certain situations and things that come up that a 12-team playoff absorbs a hell of a lot better than a 4-team playoff absorbs.
100%.
Let's say Kansas State beats the shit out of TCU this weekend. I don't think that's going to happen. But let's say they do.
Then they shouldn't have lost to Tulane earlier in the season.
But they also have a completely different quarterback now.
Wait, but that's – well, they but, both but, the quarterbacks are healthy.
But since they lost to TCU –
actually, I think the point you're making is good, but it's a little backwards. And I'll help you – let's say TCU loses this game right here, right?
Right.
And let's say they do fall out of the top four. Tell me a team that went 12-0 and lost their conference championship game doesn't deserve a chance to go back into that 12 team and win something?
I think they do, but I also think that if Kansas State beats the shit out of undefeated TCU, and I'm not talking about in the top four, but I'm talking about if they've figured it out in November and December, they should get a chance to at least go see if they can keep rolling if they just beat TCU, who's been the darling of the season.
The biggest deal to me for this is right now, I make the country club analogy a lot, but it's an exclusive country club, and I really think when you have 12 spots, it's going to be better for college football. How much better is it that USC is in the mix and that the whole country is in the mix this year? And that's happening in a 4-team playoff, but if you have 12 spots, 12 places in this country, 12 – well, multiple regions that are represented here, I think that's a better.
And I don't necessarily.
I think the blood flows through
you.
That sport better.
Yes, and I think
it
something
clog at the top.
I think something that I really agreed with, even though this was something that you said over the summer, and you used Michigan State, but let's just use another school, just so I don't have to hate the opinion. If a school like Kansas State gets into the playoff 3 years in a row. But let's say they get blown out or lose a close one. But then they start to build a program that can be among the rich. You're right. Mm-hmm. It's easier. It seems like there's more of a trajectory to make more, quote-unquote, millionaires. I agree. The only thing, and I don't want to get bogged down too much in this. We have games to preview. But people are saying the past 2 years in the playoff, there's been two new teams each, if it holds currently.
Yeah, there have
Cincinnati and Michigan last year.
TCU.
This year we're seeing – three of the teams that everyone says that downplays college football, Clemson, Ohio State, and Alabama, they're not going to make
it. But as it stands, those teams, when they get there, it is a great season. It's a banner. Hang a banner. They don't have a chance to win a game when they get there. Like they just don't. And the gap between 1 and 5 is gigantic right now, and I'm hoping 2 or 3 years in this 12-team playoff brings a lot of teams up outside that top five, and then you have 15 great teams in the year, not three.
It's possible. No, 100%. Yeah. I agree.
Because last year you had two. You had Georgia and Alabama. And then this year, who knows how many we have. We think it might be two, Georgia and Michigan.
Hey, guys, it's Big Cat, and Fight Week is here. Rough and Rowdy 24 invades Clarksburg, West Virginia this Friday night, April 19th at 8 p.m. Eastern for the first time since Rough and Rowdy won every single fight will be a brand new brawler, and we found the wildest hillbillies the Holler has to offer. Order now to enjoy 20 amateur matchups with no headgear, plus our live ring girl contest after the final bell. These country roads are being paved with blood and grit and balls. Join me and Dave on the call for Rough and Rowdy 24 tonight at 8 p.m. Eastern. Witness all the chaos with pay-per-view replay available all weekend long on buyrnr.com. That's buyrnr.com.
All right. Now, before we get to the games themselves.
That was a great argument by us, by the way.
Mostly by me.
Well,
playoff arguments are always fun because there's so many different opinions.
And we'll see. And guess what? I'm still excited no matter what.
And yeah. Jack, you know what? The phrase that you just used, because we all use it in passing, has been a very big staple on the college football show, the we'll see. Guess what? We will see.
No, it's
and
happening.
That's the best thing. Regardless of what it is, whether you like it or not, we'll see if it works. We'll see if it doesn't work.
Now, we'll spend most of this December breaking down the four-team playoff. But we're also going to spend this December watching probably the craziest transfer portal we've ever seen. NIL has changed what players expect, and they're going to be going all over this country. We've already seen the dam kind of breaking. We've got several quarterbacks that have already signed up for the transfer portal. Michigan's Cade McNamara. You have Jeff Sims from Georgia Tech, who started for 2 years for them. You have Brennan Armstrong from Virginia, entered it today. Kavassier Smoke, running back from Kentucky, very good. Hudson Card, Texas, who has started multiple years for them. And then Luke Altmyer from Ole Miss, Alex Padilla from Iowa. This is the beginning of a whirlwind college football month.
And that's why we've said so many times that you can have a great college football coach and they could be great at getting guys to translate from high school to college and have a winning team. But if you're not good at the transfer portal, that's going to be a huge knock against you.
I mean, look at the playoff we're talking about. Caleb Williams is about to win the Heisman. Caleb Williams is about to potentially go to the playoff. Caleb Williams was a transfer. Some of his best weapons, transfers. Like, that's where we live right now. We live in an era where if your team's not good right now, December 1st, 2022, that will mean dick January 1st, 2023, because you might have a whole new roster.
And the flip side, it can be true, unfortunately, as
well. You might lose some guys you love.
If you are a great recruiter and you are great going out and getting guys to sign for your team, and then your team doesn't have a good season, you're going to lose those guys in the transfer portal too. So it changes the game for both sides of the argument here. And coaches that don't want to adapt to that, as we've said, will see that you have to adapt or you're going to die in this sport.
And not to put you on blast, but College Station is probably the focal point of the transfer portal this year to see
how many
a lot of those guys aren't good. Like there's been like three stars, like guys like Alabama loses a bunch of guys too. It's going to be overblown.
Yeah, there's also a lot of the guys that have entered so far haven't played at all.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
That's
fine. I know. To you, I mean, I'm agreeing with you. So it's like, and I'm again,
but
I'm
what
not
I'm saying to
and
you,
the big guys have confirmed they're staying too.
That is, yeah, a lot of them have confirmed.
All right, but a lot of Jimbo's hope in that program was built on the fact that he had the number one class in the country last year. If that class were to fall apart, the hope falls apart.
1,000%, and we're not taking that away, and there's a lot of things that could happen. However, it is going to be, and regardless of if it's A&M or any other team that was in this exact same spot, guys are going to start to leave. It's like, look, A&M lost another one, A&M lost another one. As of December 1st, when we're sitting here recording, they've lost guys. They've not lost any guys that they have actually seen produce
invested
on the field
in is
yet.
What you're saying.
Well, invested I don't you know in. What I can't say that without a matter of fact of a doubt.
Okay,
because I don't know, Brandon, I don't know if they've invested in any of these players, but what I do know is no invest in the ones that have left.
Okay,
that have or let
there's one significant one that left today who is a top 75 recruit in the class of 2021, which is a tough loss. I don't know if he's lost any yet from the class of 2022. This year is the class of 2023, which, by the way, Texas A&M's not ranking great right now, and they're a top 20.
Imagine why.
We're going to have to figure out in the next 3 or 4 years how important high school recruiting stands up to
the
transfer portal. Because, Ole Miss is going to be an example. They're not going to they're going to have a top 30 class every year on high school, and then they're going to get a top 5 transfer portal class every year.
Also, you know what's
going to Lane's there.
What's going to start to get really sticky is like, you know, when you look at classes, you're like, okay, well, the class of 2020 who's still on the roster was rated number 5, number 6. Well, then you also have to take into consideration some of those guys that added to that rating are no longer there.
Yeah,
so then in retrospect, so how do you do that? So it's like, we can no longer look at classes and be like, well, that you know, top ranked class is now seniors. Well, are they? Because half of them may have left. That's going to be very, very sticky.
So I would like to announce right here on SA Roughness that I am willing to take your head coaching job. If you are in the MAC, I think I'd be a good MAC coach. Northern Illinois, Eastern Michigan, Western
Akron,
Pucky Ducky Tech, wherever you want me to go.
No, our boys at Akron.
Was the list you did yesterday.
But yeah, so anywhere that wants me, I will go because that's apparently the qualifications you need. Trent Dilfer is the new head coach of the University of Alabama Birmingham Blazers, and
Trent Dilfer played more football than you.
A little bit,
just a little.
You know, so it has been like a coach and.
I was a coach in high school.
Brandon did have a very good seventh grade year.
No. Wait. Yes. I was a great, promising tight end for the seventh grade West Point Greenway.
Number 88.
Secondly, has Trent Dilfer ever won 5 national championships in a row at Akron? Because I did that.
You're right. No, you're right.
I did that on NCAA 09, I believe. Had one of those rare dynasties that was so good, I kept playing 09 when 10 was out. I didn't buy 10.
You didn't win a Super Bowl. People forget he was a Super Bowl starting
quarterback. Hold on. Are you saying that I never won 7 straight Super Bowls with the Miami Dolphins on Madden? Is that what you're telling me?
Because I've won a bunch. No,
I'm
not. Right.
I'm probably.
Update the wiki.
Between NCAA and Madden, I've won every championship, every trophy there is to win. You're telling me
MVP,
I can't coach? MVP, Heisman. Rookie of the Year, Heisman.
He did play in the league for like 13 years.
What league?
The NFL. The National Football League.
So? Who cares? Look at his career highlights. Super Bowl champion. Oh, you just got one?
He threw more interceptions in an NFL career than touchdowns.
Pro Bowl?
Oh, shit, he did.
You just got one? Steve Largent Award? Oh, you just got one? First team All-American? Oh, you just did it one time? Come on.
He was the WAC Offensive Player of the Year in 1993.
How many do you have?
Huh?
Hmm?
I never coached in the WAC.
I didn't know UAB fired their coach.
It was 2 years ago. There was like
that was Bill Clark that left.
Well, it was an intern for an entire season, I think.
Yeah.
Was that this year?
No, I think he left like in the summer.
It was really soon. Bill Clark left this summer because he had health complications.
Yeah. It was
and
quiet.
Then they had an interim, like Katie said. Yeah. And then they didn't extend him and they gave it to Dilfer. That's what the.
All right. We'll see about Trent Dilfer. He's been coaching high
school. Dilfer jokes.
He's legitimately been coaching high school.
Are you not getting more Dilfer jokes?
There will be.
A lot of coaches that started in high school. Let's not be mean.
Well, go from, not directly.
A lot of coaches start in high school. Very rarely does a coach go from a high school head coach to a college head coach. But usually they stop as an assistant.
Not to like downplay the UAB program, but it is UAB. It's not like he went out and got a Power 5. It's a good program, but it's I feel like a lot of times because it is very funny. It's like, oh, Trent Dilfer, he's been in the media for a while. It feels like people are using it to a certain degree the same way that they use the Jeff Saturday stuff. Jeff Saturday was crazy because he went from only coaching high school to being the interim coach in the NFL. Whereas, like, if Trent Dilfer was hired at Arizona State or Trent Dilfer was hired at, you know, one of the bigger name programs, I feel like it'd be a bigger deal. I mean, whenever Herm Edwards was hired, that was a huge thing. It was Herm Edwards to Arizona State, what are we doing here? Trent Dilfer to UAB, it's like, all right. We'll see.
Tom Herman looks like he's going to FAU.
We'll I love that.
See about that as well. So he's got a chance to revive his career and take the Lane Kiffin route, basically.
That's the reason I love it.
That Willie Taggart failed at.
And Charlie Strong, too.
All right. So yesterday we had it was a weird day. We had a crime wave in college football.
Very weird.
Crime wave hit college football.
I don't really want to talk about this
from
too
the board
much because there's nothing joking. There's no joking matters with a couple of these. So you have Mickey Joseph, former Nebraska interim coach who didn't get the job, arrested at his home for domestic disturbance on Wednesday.
Absolutely terrible.
Jalen Kitna, the son of former Bengals great John Kitna. Arrested for child pornography charges. He played. He's quarterback at Florida, backup quarterback. And then Maisie Williams. Is it Maisie? Am I saying it right? Maisie Williams, one of the co-captains of defense for Michigan, arrested on charges of carrying a concealed weapon without a license. Now,
a very delayed
Maisie arrest. Williams. This one, Maisie Smith. Excuse me, Maisie Smith, not Maisie Williams. Maisie Smith. Facing a felony weapons charge stemming from an October 7th incident. He was pulled over in a car. He had a concealed weapon. He told him, and he was in the middle of getting his – this is what Michigan said today. He was in the middle of getting his concealed carry license, but he hadn't gotten it fully yet. So I think that based on all that, he never missed a game. He didn't get suspended, and charges were filed yesterday. and it took almost 2 months for that to happen. I don't know that this is a is a criminal mastermind here. I think this is just
the timing
something that will be,
from Michigan State fans, the timing of this to the incident.
Well, that's exactly. I'm glad you said that.
And before we get into that, this is the thing. If we're believing what is coming out from the reports today, it's not like he obtained this gun illegally. He obtained it legally, did everything he was supposed to do, and was pulled over simply days before he was actually issued the concealed permit. If that is true, Michigan State fans are making a much bigger deal out of something than they should be. Now, if it's not true, different story. But the way Michigan State fans are dancing all over this is kind of bizarre to me.
They're acting like Jim Harbaugh is running a game. Out of Ann Arbor, like he is a blood leader or a Crip leader. Like Jim Harbaugh is just leading this incredible gang of sophisticated felons, and no, this is a guy that went and bought a gun, didn't have the correct paperwork on him, and now probably has the correct paperwork. So Michigan State fans, have you seen this reaction? It's pretty desperate.
Yeah,
I've gotten a bunch of DMs about it.
I think it's going
today.
To yeah, people were really. They were saying I wasn't going to post it on our account. They said I was covering it up. I was in on the cover up. And then
well,
I posted
you were, Jack.
It.
You were.
And yeah, no, I mean, he didn't hurt anybody. He didn't take off his helmet and swing it at a police officer or another human being because they said they were in this like same proximate area at
well,
the
I'd
same
say
time
a,
after a football game.
A gun is more dangerous than a helmet, though.
Did he use it to harm anybody?
Well, he didn't. I'm just saying.
I would say, you know what they're both classified as?
Weapons?
Weapons that could kill somebody. So, anyways, he didn't use it. He we'll see how it pans out from a perspective of the legal system. I don't know. And then if there is some cover-up from Jim Harbaugh or, like, the Michigan judicial system because the judge that filed it went to Michigan that Michigan State fans are all pointing out, then that will come out. That will be exposed, and you have to trust journalists.
Well, and that's where
trust the journalists,
which is tough sometimes. If the details are coming out are true, where it was obtained legally, there's going to be an argument. We're not going to get
into
it on
the
show.
He would be getting a felony for an illegal weapon if it wasn't.
But here's the thing. It's like regardless of, and I'm not going on this rant, so don't think I'm going on this rant. Regardless of how you feel about gun control, if he was carrying a gun legally. And just the record of him having a concealed weapon was legal, just hadn't gone through yet. Those are two completely different things. And he just went out, bought illegally, had a gun, and was just carrying it around on a whim. Those are not the same thing. So if we are going to trust what we're being told, he did everything the correct way and just happened to get pulled over. And maybe Michigan knew that and said, okay, well, the paperwork is now filed. He is going to continue to play. If not, it is a different story.
I just like to point out that nobody trusts journalists more than my friend Jack McGuire. he is constantly telling me to trust the journalists, trust the journalism, trust them, trust them, trust them. Yes, you trust the media above all else.
Yes, and the science.
It is weird though that Michigan State fans are holding on to this
They're
hard as
bad.
They are.
All right.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
All right. Now, we move along to the games. This weekend, we have conference championship games, and you got a bunch. You've got stuff like Toledo, Ohio. You have Coastal Carolina, Troy. You have Fresno State, Boise State. You got a lot. We are going to focus on pretty much the Power Five ones here, the five major championship games, starting with Friday night, number 11 Utah against number 4 USC, 8 p.m. on Fox in Las Vegas. I just announced today it is sold out, so it will be a full house.
When you look at the Power Five conference championship games in the recent past, since we've been doing this podcast, since we've been working together, since we've been at Barstool, usually the Pac-12 championship game is the least, I think, that I've cared about because they've been out of the college football playoff scenario. What's crazy is when you look at the five games that we're going to really look at, it's the game that has Clemson that people care about the least, because this Pac-12 championship is so massive, not only because the conference itself has been awesome all year because of the playoff implications, but to have it on Friday night, to have it as that sole game is so cool, and it makes it exciting again, which is why I want to say thank you, Pac-12, for making yourselves interesting again, because this game is going to rock.
Well, you should just thank Lincoln Riley, because he's what made the Pac-12 interesting again.
You know, Dan has accused me many times of saying I have a crush on Lincoln Riley. Yeah. I don't, but I think that I actually like might subconsciously, because I love this team.
And it's not just him. If you look throughout this conference, outside of Chip Kelly at UCLA, it's all new coaches. Like
Dan
Washington,
Lanning?
Washington's 10-2 with Kalen DeBoer, new coach. Washington State had a good year, new coach. USC, obviously, with the new coach. So it's a conference that has had a hell of a year. It's just a shame they're going to be breaking up soon. The Oregon.
Dan Lanning.
Look at me in my green, my popping green here.
It makes your eyes even bluer.
Yeah. I've heard good things about the color of this. You know who sent me this?
Yeah, Joe.
Our boy, Joe Moorhead.
Yeah, Fordham, now Akron. And he's gotten – they play tomorrow in a very weirdly scheduled game at 1 p.m.
They,
1 p.m.?
Buffalo. By the way, they had a really bad year. They beat the shit out of Northern Illinois.
If you look at their season, it's the perfect first season as a coach. You
get better
and
better.
You're really bad. And then you start to lose only by like 7 to 4.
And then all of a sudden you win.
Yeah. I think they may have a chance to beat Buffalo
tomorrow.
Why is
it at 1?
Who knows?
Buffalo needs one more win to get bowl eligible. And they had their game canceled because of that snowstorm in Buffalo.
Gotcha.
So, but shout out Joe Moorhead. I think the Akron may be a very good bet tomorrow.
Live dog here.
1 p.m.
All right. So
you know what? I don't hate a 1 p.m. Friday afternoon college football game. December 2nd.
I listen, Utah-USC. Utah obviously won the first game 43-42. This game has multiple things on the line for USC, not the least of which being the playoff and the Heisman Trophy. But I'll say this about TCU too. Mm-hmm. Everything about this game points toward USC in my mind. The revenge factor, the playoff factor, the Lincoln Riley factor, the Caleb Williams winning the Heisman factor. Everything screams USC. So why then is this line hovering between 2.5 and 3? Because why won't it move, Jack? Because you know USC is going to be a public side.
But USC is not like their offense is elite, but
their defense is
just so bad, man. It's like anybody with a pulse can really score on them, and that's what Utah did. And also, man, I get it. The turnover luck that USC's had, I get there's some skill to it, but the margin of turnover they've had above everybody else in the country is just shocking. It's like statistically an anomaly. I don't know why.
Anomaly.
Whatever.
No, hold on. We're going to get the
anomaly.
Anomaly. Anyways, all that being said, I know I messed up speaking.
It's okay.
However,
it happens. I do it all the time.
If one ball doesn't bounce their way, and it bounces Utah's way, and finally the luck changes, and then they can't really get a stop in the second half, it's 38-35 before you know it.
Well, let me ask it this way. USC's a 2.5-point favorite over Utah. TCU's a 2.5-point favorite over Kansas State. Who's more likely to lose their game?
USC.
I would say TCU.
I say TCU as well.
I think that I know it's lame to say. I think it's even.
They could both lose. Like, this is,
they're both going up against really good teams that
don't match up with them perfectly.
Yeah, like these are two great games, and I mean, chances are, and this isn't that crazy of a thing to say, one of them is going to lose to one's on Friday, one's on Saturday
this weekend. Yeah. But I'm
excited for it.
But they're the first two conference championship games.
It's awesome.
That's what I'm saying. It's
so
awesome.
So 3 o'clock on Saturday, we're going to know how much chaos we're in for.
Yes. And then, of course, you know, barring something crazy happening, because even if Michigan loses in the Big Ten championship, which they won't, something crazy could happen. But my thing with this USC team, and Jack, you're 1,000% right when it comes to the turnover margin. There have been weird things that have bounced their way. But when you look at the USC-Utah game that we saw earlier in this season, the difference with that was a lot of things bounced Utah's way, and they still only won by 1 point. And this USC offense, while their defense can't stop anybody. I mean, they're allowing over 400 yards a game. That is not good. This USC offense is really hard to keep up with. And every time I start to make this argument, I go back to what happened against UCLA. And that game, instant classic in the Rose Bowl. DTR looked great. The thing was, is they just could not slow down USC's offense at all. I think, I mean, they it was neck to neck. I don't see Utah's offense being able to do what UCLA's offense was able to do. And I see USC.
Well, hold on. Let me just.
I don't think Cam Rising is DTR anymore. Ooh. Cam Rising is
USC,
not.
Utah scored 43. UCLA scored 45. Like, threw for 415 yards.
But since, his next high is 287.
Right, but since October 15th, okay. Cam Rising has not looked the same.
Yeah, but who did they play October 15th?
USC.
I mean, shit. Like, that's who they played.
He did have that weird injury.
No, but it is just funny. Like, I'm not even arguing with Casey, just pointing it out. That he had 415.
I understand what you're saying. You're saying since that day, since October 15th, Rising hasn't been very good.
Just that day.
I mean, he threw for 287 the week before. I mean, he was good. He was good against.
Comparable to 215. 415.
Oh, that was his best game, but that's who he's playing this weekend. That's who he's playing this weekend.
I would say, again, I understand that I'm a UC or USC person, but
I'll go back.
Throughout the season, up until the USC game, or even after the USC game, because he obviously had a hell of a game, we were talking about how good Cam Rising was.
He is good.
He is good, but his numbers, even after USC, I mean, look what he was doing earlier in the season versus what he's done.
I think this is just a crazy thing to bring up. Like, after USC, like, he did this against USC. We know he can do this against USC. And I'd like to point out one other thing. Against Arizona, he passed for 151. They scored 45. 219 against Stanford, they scored 42. 234 against Colorado, they scored 63. Obviously, they lost to Oregon, who's a very, very good team. But, like, this is not painting the picture of a team that needed Cam Rising to be this gigantic passing threat this year. They were still able to score points. And the one time he played USC was his best game of the year.
It was. And USC's defense.
It was everyone's best game of the year.
Yeah,
too.
USC's defense is not good.
Jake the plumber on California.
Yeah.
I'm not making the argument that USC's defense is worth a shit at all. What I am saying is that for this specific game, for what is happening on Friday night, I do not see Utah's offense being able to keep up with what we're seeing right now. I mean, Caleb Williams has won the Heisman in the last few weeks of the season. This offense is rolling. I mean, Notre Dame could do nothing against this offense. Notre Dame did more against Ohio State's offense than they did against USC's.
Yeah, I don't know. I just like UCLA scored 45 against UCLA lost to them by 3 points, and they were right there with them. He's right. If they play on such a razor thin margin, and one ball bounces the other way, look out. They might be down in the fourth quarter and then changes everything. So
It is true. But in that same game that we're talking about where they lost by one, there were multiple balls that bounced Utah's way that potentially could not. And it was one. I have no idea if Cam Rising is going to put up 415 yards on USC's defense. He obviously has the capability to do it. He's done it. But I'm looking at this USC offense and saying what they have been doing all season – and they've gotten better at throughout the end of it. I mean, again, people thought Notre Dame was going to beat them. There was no chance Notre Dame could beat them. They couldn't slow them down. Can Utah's defense slow them down enough to keep up with them? I don't think so.
I do think so, and that's fine. We can disagree. I like disagreeing. Disagreeing is better than agreeing. So I think Utah can win this game. If I had to say which one I thought would lose, I would pick TCU. I think TCU is playing a team that plays a style that is the exact opposite of what I would want to see if I'm TCU. Kansas State can run it down people's throats.
Is it bad that I just think both of them are going
to
win?
No, that's a perfectly valid point of view.
When you ask me who I think is more likely to lose, it's splitting hairs.
My only thing about that, the reason I asked that question is USC's playing for everything. Right. TCU's playing for everything. Mm-hmm. TCU's 12-0. USC's 11-1. USC's got a Heisman winner. They're only 2.5-point favorites, both of them. And those are tiny.
The games are crazy.
Tiny numbers.
They're going to be awesome.
And they're not moving. The fact that USC's 80% of the public is going to be on USC, and it's not moving, that might mean the books are getting what they want. And that is something to pay attention for in this game.
I completely agree. I'm excited for both of them. I think, and I don't know, I mean, it's a 50-50 chance they both win. I get that. But I just see the playoff chaos being pretty anticlimactic when it comes down to it, because I think both of these teams can win and will win, But would it surprise me if both of them lose? No.
TCU has a worse matchup for them, I think, because Kansas State, again, can run the football and really control line of scrimmage and do some things that make TCU –
they haven't been that great at running the ball this year.
Make TCU uncomfortable. I mean, they're pretty good.
Like 16.
They've been better at throwing the
ball.
And
they've got home run potential. Okay.
I mean, also, since Will Howard took over for Adrian Martinez has played one game and they lost to Texas. Every other game – they've won as with Will Howard as their starter.
So
that does – I mean, he came in and into the last time they played TCU, they lost that game.
Yeah, I don't think there's any quarterback issues here for TCU this time. I think they won't have the quarterback excuse, that being for sure.
No, I mean, they played Oklahoma State, Baylor, West Virginia, Kansas and Kansas. State.
And that was
still
Will Howard's first game, so there's no tape on him.
We'll see. We'll see. TCU has lived a very good life this year, and they've won a lot of close games. And
what is it, the
Hypnotoad?
I don't know about that.
If they win, go check the TCU Barstool page for the shirts we have. Phenomenal.
Jack, are you gonna wear your helmet?
That was a fake gift.
Well,
all I've heard from TCU since the beginning is, thank you so much for supporting us. They've sent me nothing, zero, nada. They sent me a fake helmet. They said they were gonna send me a helmet. Guess where the helmet? The helmet that I got gifted, they took it back.
They took it back?
Yeah, he took it back.
Why?
TCU since day one.
That's not. It was Dawson's. I think there's a mix-up on
the... So then why did he give me a gift?
It was a placement. I think they're supposed to get one from Sonny Dykes. It's not on Dawson, though.
So then it's on TCU. That's
but not Dawson.
No, he said it was TCU.
Oh, sorry for offending Dawson. I've gotten nothing, and I'm very disappointing TCU.
That's what I thought TCU was.
What he's saying is that his takes are for sale for anybody who sends him the right stuff.
Well, I mean, aren't
and
you?
And I frankly find that appalling.
I know. You do.
I can't believe that you sit here and would say good things about a team because they send you stuff. All right, and we're talking about bad teams, not great organizations and great colleges like the University of Oregon.
I know. All right,
we're talking about trash teams out there.
I know.
Unbelievable that you would do that.
We were sitting in the radio room before we came in to record, and Lauren, the college football producer, came in and was like, "Oh, where'd you get that Oregon hoodie? That's a really nice hoodie." And he goes, "Everybody sends me shit." And I was like, "Have a little
sends
bit
me
of chill."
Nothing.
Oh, but
UConn.
UConn sent us a great package.
Well, of course, UConn. I mean, UConn's the best.
UConn
did you get the Illinois package?
Yeah.
Chase Brown sweatshirt?
Yeah.
I want to try the maple syrup.
No, I got the syrup. I didn't get this.
Oh, you didn't get a sweatshirt?
Somebody stole
your sweatshirt.
Somebody probably did.
Somebody stole you.
At least y'all got boxes.
It came with a
I only got a box.
It came with syrup. It was a box with syrup and a sweatshirt in it.
Oh, my box. It just had syrup.
We all got the same box.
The box only had a tiny little syrup in it?
Chuck probably took it.
Somebody took your
Trent took
your sweater.
That's too bad. But shout out Illinois. Shout out Chase Brown, who should have been on first.
You can have mine, by the
Big
way.
Ten. No, I mean I love Chase.
I'll give you my Chase Brown sweater.
It doesn't fit him.
Maybe.
What?
You gave it to me.
Oh, I'll take it back from her and give it to you if you want it.
No, it's hers.
He didn't. It didn't fit you right.
Unbelievable, Katie. That you're just looking for a handout. You're looking for free stuff.
I never.
It's ridiculous. No, can you believe these people?
I know.
I would like it on record that I will take
try
any
to get Noah's allegiance
any free
buy
merch
and send him.
UNC doesn't send
merch. What?
UNC doesn't send merch. They don't even send it to their NFL people.
Really?
That's like the boosters, like anything. At least last I heard, might change in the last year.
They at least give me a free class or something.
Mm-hmm.
That was good. That was good.
American history.
That was good. A&M sent us a bunch of cool shit. Gave us those shoes too.
Yeah,
A&M. Yeah,
I did notice that people were pointing out that you were wearing your A&M sweatpants on the Egg Bowl stream, because they're the best.
They're the best sweatpants.
They're the best. I will take any free shit.
Is that yours?
Yeah, I just signed.
I got a Hudson, an Old Dominion Hudson. You know, the cute little puppy.
That's awesome.
I got a big shirt.
Why are we talking about the free stuff we get?
What's
better
than the helmet?
They gave me a fake helmet. They were like, "Here's a helmet." Dawson's like, "Here's a helmet," and then he took it back. It's upstairs on his desk.
Because TCU lied to you.
And then he kept telling me, "I'm going to get you a shirt. I'm going to get you a shirt." The man goes to TCU every weekend.
All right. So outside of those two, which are the frame setters, and they're the most important games of the weekend.
What's everyone's official?
I'm taking TCU.
I don't have a prediction. I do think prediction-wise, I will say that I think one of these teams will lose. And if I had to pick one of them, I think TCU is the most vulnerable.
I think TCU is going to win this game. I think it's going to be a close game. I do not think they're going to blow them out. I love Max Duggan. I love this offense. The same shit I've been saying.
Chris Klieman's a hell of a coach, man.
He is. And
you give him a second shot at somebody.
And Kansas State, too. And I know we're catching L's on the timeline because, I don't know, at some point in, like, the spring, it was tweeted. Yeah, that was a weird thing people are going
like
back to.
It was like a joke. It's like these people, like, it's like they're never on the internet. Adrian Martinez said, this is the most talented team I've ever been a part of, right? And before the season this year, and I was like, oh, Kansas State 4-8 incoming. That was more of a joke about Nebraska than Kansas State. And they're all like, take your L, Jack Mack. Okay, yeah, we tweet out things and they're funny, and then they sometimes turn out not to be true.
I mean, Jack, when you look at the Big 12 preview, I understand none of us got the conference championship right, but you were
all closest. My previews are – I just had an amazing year.
I had number two with Kansas State.
I mean, he's got TCU as a top two team. He's got most disappointed team, Baylor. He's got most underrated team, TCU. He's got Coach of the Year, Sonny Dykes. He has TCU winning the Big 12. Like, Jack nailed that one.
Yeah, Jack nailed – I mean, I have Kansas State in the conference championship.
I had Texas winning, unfortunately.
But TCU number two.
Well, how did – oh, biggest upset. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
And that did happen.
Well, yeah, that turned out to not be an upset at all. Oklahoma fans aren't even on Twitter anymore. Like, they don't even tweet like mean things at you anymore.
They're gone.
They're gone.
They don't tweet mean things at anybody.
They just left.
Crazy.
All right. So,
well, they crazy. Might. We just don't see.
We gotta get out of here. But the other three championship games: Michigan, Purdue, 17.5-point favorite. Clemson, North Carolina, Clemson 7.5-point favorite. And
Jeff Brohm is 2-3-0 against AP top three teams in his career. At
really?
Purdue. Could it? Is there a chance?
No.
Yes.
Would it matter?
No.
Okay.
You think there's actually a chance?
How much?
He says there's a chance.
I asked.
How much does Michigan need?
What if there's a 2% chance? And then yes, there's a chance.
Yeah, how much does Michigan need to lose by to be out of the playoffs?
I do not think they can be out of the playoff. 12-0 Big Ten or Big 12-0 in the Big Ten with a win over Ohio State, a win over Penn State. Like, they're
Purdue's just not very good. I don't even know how that would beat them. Their pass offense turned out to be nothing.
Well, Michigan has to – it has to be like a 13-10 game. Michigan's offense has
to be the Illinois game.
They have to completely no-show it.
And Blake Corum is out for the season, as we saw against Ohio State. That does not matter. This game screams to me exactly what happened last year, which happens a lot in the Big Ten because the Big Ten West is just not anywhere near as good as the Big Ten East. But Michigan beat Iowa last year, I believe, 42-3 in the Big Ten championship. That's what this game seems like is going to be to me. I don't know if it'll be exactly that bad, but it's like, even if it starts out slow, it just seems to me that it's just – the divisions are so lopsided.
I think Purdue's built to not get that embarrassed because, you know, they can throw it, they can score, they can – Aiden O'Connell can play, whereas Iowa was just nothing. They couldn't move the ball at all. LSU, Georgia, anybody think LSU's got a chance to win that one still?
Well, you had a great tweet last week, which is the greatest way to sum up this game, which is when you think LSU's dead – they're not.
Right.
When you think they're amazing, they're not.
They're dead, yeah.
Does that mean that in said hypothetical scenario that actually came true, that because they lost to A&M
– that they'll now play well?
Yeah.
I mean, they're in position to. This is a spot where they would surprise you. I just think Georgia gets bored, and Georgia, mails it in against some teams. And in Atlanta for the SEC, they will not mail it in here. I don't think they'll kill them, 38-0, but I think they'll beat them 27-10 or something like that.
I think they could kill them.
Do you think they cover?
I wouldn't bet it. I'm not going to bet it. I'm not going to bet Georgia to cover. I do think they keep this game under 51, though.
It is a weird – you talk about the difference in college football and other sports. It is a very weird thing with college football teams like this specific LSU team. It's like when they play really bad, then they usually play really good the following week, and you're like, who is this team? Do you think Georgia fans are very – they should be very high. Why would they not be? They won the national title. They're the number one team. They're a lot of people's favorites. I would almost be – if I was a Georgia fan, I would almost be way more nervous for this game because of how they played in College Station. If they would have killed A&M like most people thought that they would – be like, all right, well, whatever. Like, it's
I don't think Georgia has nervous in their vocabulary right now.
And you probably shouldn't. I do think there is something that plays into that. It's like they got, for lack of better terms, I know the game wasn't that out of control, but they were embarrassed in College Station by a team that's not going to a bowl game.
All right,
that could scare some people.
Oh, we're going to get out of here. One thing I want to circle back to is this just came up in my mind right now. Everybody who's in love with the current system of college football and loves the 14 playoff and doesn't want it to change, we have five Power 5 championship games this week. Three of them don't matter at all.
At all.
At all. After 3 o'clock on Saturday, you can turn off college football and not miss anything. I'm not going to do that. I don't suggest you do that, but that is a reality.
Well, it sucks that Clemson, North Carolina, which, by the way, from a color game standpoint, is going to be fucking awesome.
It's going to be beautiful.
It's
beautiful.
Color rush. It is color rush for sure.
At least we are.
So orange against blue?
Carolina blue, yeah.
It's going to look.
Wait, you can't just say blue?
No, it's Carolina blue. No, it's Carolina.
I know it's Carolina blue, but obviously I'm talking about North Carolina, and I say they're going to wear their blue?
Well, they have a different blue.
They have a different blue. Right? It's Carolina blue. It's like Tiffany blue.
Is this a side comment? I wasn't really going to think about it.
No, but I just thought that was funny.
Yeah, okay.
That's a funny correction to make of somebody.
I like it.
People are like, oh, baby, I think that's one of the only time I've gotten in the mix with Pat 40. He was like, oh, it's sky blue. Like, uh-uh. He was like, that's elitist and like, not, or what's,
didn't his son swim in North Carolina?
Oh,
Stanford women's swimming.
And guess what?
No, his son. His son didn't swim for the women's team at Stanford.
Though his kid, I know, is a Stanford swimmer. That's
Pat 40's obsessed with swimming, and he has a vendetta against UConn because they got rid of swimming. Boy. And fuck you, Pat 40.
Oh,
sorry that your little swimming team wasn't as good. It's not at UConn anymore.
Yeah. He was like, it's elitist calling it Carolina blue. I'm like, that's the point.
But that's
He's
the point.
An elitist.
I will say, if I went to a school that had a great enough color that you put your name in front of it, I would call it that every time. Like, think about Tiffany blue. It's not just blue, it's Tiffany blue. However,
what the fuck is Tiffany blue?
You know what Tiffany blue.
Tiffany, the jewelry place?
He's not an elitist.
Why would I know what Tiffany blue is?
You know the jewelry company Tiffany's?
I understand what you guys are telling to me. I'm not an idiot. I didn't know Tiffany had their own blue.
They do.
Noah's been holding that baseball the whole time. Like, I was always.
He's ready to,
he's ready
has
to
the
throw it around the horn. All right.
Like that Tiffany blue doesn't register to you?
Nothing.
You know what we should do for your wife for Christmas?
Get some Tiffany?
Well, you should. I will just go with you. I'll go to the Tiffany store with you.
We're going to have to go next week.
That's fine.
It's about time for Christmas shop.
Anytime to go to Tiffany, I'll go. I love Tiffany.
All right. That's my baby again?
Do you think that helped last time?
Probably not.
Although, but the Tiffany store that I like to go to is like 6 floors.
The Tiffany store that I like to go to is what she just said.
Yeah, there's a bunch, but the flagship store is like... Wow. It's very. Anyways, the point is, Clemson, North Carolina, from a standpoint of like the game itself in a vacuum is going to be cool. The fact that it just doesn't matter... In the grand scheme of things, sucks. But guess when it would matter, Brandon?
12-team playoff.
No, it would have mattered if Clemson wasn't a fucking loser and didn't lose to South Carolina.
It's a fair point.
It is a fair point.
Like this, and also it would matter even more if North Carolina didn't lose to NC State.
You know, it definitely would. But I also think that Clemson's
We're
not
rewarding
playing
mediocrity.
It's not mediocrity.
It's not mediocrity.
Going 10-2 isn't mediocre.
And Drake May is not mediocre either.
He's played like it
recently. But Drake May is the best quarterback Clemson will have seen all year. That's going to be an awesome game, and it doesn't matter.
Yes, because Clemson couldn't beat Spencer Rattler and
okay, we're getting back into the arguments. We got to go. Yes.
Katie, are you
fair point.
How do you feel about this?
Why?
Huh? What? I want to feel about our game.
Let's go on. What to talk about? Let's move on.
No, it's okay. You can say what you feel about North Carolina.
We're a little short on time. It's 5:30. We got to go.
Okay, we got to go. All right. It's Unnecessary Roughness. Bye.